The rest of the story. The missionary ship arrived in the African port of Freetown in mid-January. The missionaries themselves had grand plans to establish a mission station in Sierra Leone, to imbue the African natives of that region with the fundamentals of Christianity and Western civilization. But not everyone aboard the missionary vessel shared that same vision. I want you to meet Joseph. Joseph is no missionary. He has simply come along for the ride. The missionaries have no idea what Joseph plans to do once he arrives. Well, they're in for the shock of their lives. For while the passionately sincere founding members of the American Missionary Society intended only to build a mission center in the Mende Territory, somebody among them is going to hunt African natives and capture them and sell them. That is, someone among them, somebody named Joseph, will become a slave trader. Now, not only was such activity morally reprehensible to the missionaries who journeyed to Sierra Leone in 1840, it was illegal. Surprising, isn't it? For in an era when slavery itself was institutionalized and thriving, the African slave trade was generally prohibited. Even under United States law, it was prohibited. In fact, that apparent contradiction was at the center of legal arguments involving the Amistad case. By now, about everybody knows about that, about the Spanish slave ship Amistad, subdued by its own captive slaves in 1839, about the slaves' attempt to sail the vessel back to Africa, but they arrived instead in the United States. Anyway, the slaves were jailed in Connecticut, and an international controversy erupted therefrom. The Spanish government stepped in, demanded the return of the Amistad and its cargo to its rightful owners, the slaves' masters. A pair of Cubans named Ruiz and Montes charged the Africans with piracy and murder. And the abolitionists, they countered with the charge that since the slave trade was illegal according to the laws of both the United States and Spain, that everybody connected with the capture and the transport of the Amistad slaves should themselves be tried for piracy. And then there was Sinque. Sinque, the slave who led the rebellion aboard the Amistad, and who, through an interpreter, spoke so powerfully of his plight that the case was propelled through the lower courts and onto the Supreme Court of the United States. After all arguments were heard, the kidnapped Africans were set free, and Sinque became a hero. So famous that his story would become the subject of a Steven Spielberg movie. So revered in revolutionary circles that even the leader of the kidnappers of Patty Hearst would adopt the name Sinque. Now, I want you to remember this Joseph, the one you met earlier, the fellow who traveled to Africa with the missionaries and became a slave trader in Sierra Leone. Joseph was not a white American. He was not a European. He was an African native, hereditary ruler of Komende, an aristocrat among his people who had been gone for some time and yet who was now returning to Sierra Leone to claim his rightful throne. And, oh yes, to begin trading slaves. I know in history books it's a mere mention, an obscure footnote to an otherwise heroic life story. Yet if you never knew it, now you'll never forget it, that after the United States Supreme Court set him free, a court comprised predominantly of judges from the pre-Civil War South, the slaves in K, slave named Joseph by his captors, returning to his homeland, became a slave trader himself. Now you know the rest of the story.